This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Flight Training the Way I See It, a podcast, a video podcast, and audio podcast by me, Mike Shiflett, and CFI Bootcamp. And this is the May 2025 newsletter and podcast. We're going to talk about several things today, so we always have the pro tips at the end. The first thing we'll talk about is the 141 modernization going on, the public meetings within FAA, and I'm part of that. So happy to sit on a few committees. I'll talk about that a little bit. And I'm going to give you an update on our private pilot ACS Smart Study Pro product. So for those of you who don't know that, you're going to want to stick around for that if you're pursuing your private pilot certificate or you're a flight instructor teaching private pilots. We'll also introduce you to the CFI Study Group on Facebook. This is a great group. I want to give them a shout out here and make sure that people go and register to become a member. It's free. And it's a great resource. The next thing we're going to talk about is, are you looking to do your instrument rating in an accelerated way, or at least the ground portion? Or are you looking to do your double I, CF double I? We have a 3-day course that rings the bell for all of that. It'll get you everything you need, and it's coming soon, June 12th through 14th. Now, if you can't make this one, we have others, but we'll give you the structure of it here. And we'll go through 3 pro tips, and they're 4-flight-centric this time. So some advanced features on 4-flight are things you really want to know about. So we'll get started. So we'll start off with the 141 modernization, the third meeting, which is coming. It's a 2-day meeting. It's set for June the 10th and 11th, and it's either in-person or online. In-person, it'll be at Bridgewater State University in Bridgewater, Massachusetts. And online, there'll be links that you can get for that. It's a public meeting, meaning anybody can attend. Starts at 9 a.m. and ends at 4 for 2 days. Now, as part of that, we have subgroups or working groups from that that I've been appointed to. One of them I sit on is simulation and advanced technology, credit for that kind of thing. I've been tasked with getting a regulation changed to allow flight instructors to log time they're giving a sim instruction, as long as a student or whoever's in the sim can log it too. So if that's still appropriate towards the certificate rating, we want to get that, try to get that changed. That's going to be a tough task, but we're going to try to push that really hard. I also sit on the ACS PTS reviews, which basically are looking at how we can use or not use these documents for testing under Part 141. And so we've been looking through those to see what's relevant, what maneuvers are like relevant, what aren't, what can we take out, what can we put in. Some of my suggestions were, of course, you know, I'm not a big fan of teaching maneuvers, which are chandelles, lazy eights, eights. Those are fine for teaching, but I think for testing, they're irrelevant. I think they should be I think everything should be operational that we're testing, right? Everything, most everything should be operational. So anyway, we try to look at, can we make a suggestion to replace those with loss of control things, some other kind of training that would be more beneficial, more operational for us? The other thing we're looking at is adding some phraseology into these documents that somehow got taken out when the PTSs changed to ACSs. When I was a DPE, the PTS said that the standards in each maneuver were in good flying conditions. That statement doesn't exist now, and there seems to be some confusion as to what the real standards are, especially in the power of 180. There's a section now in the appendix in the commercial pilot ACS that talks about if the reason you're not going to make the point is because of poor planning didn't work out, and that's the reason, that's an unsatisfactory task, which basically means you can't go around from that, which to me is a safety issue. So I really don't want to have those kind of things in the ACS. We can pull them out. I'd like to put some guidance in there. It's a little bit better. So anyway, our groups meet 2 or 3 times between the meetings, maybe once a week. Between the meetings from FAA, sometimes we got a little late start on this one, but we did manage to put a lot of report together, so we can talk about that in the second day. I'm sure we'll be sharing data in the second day of this 2-day event, and that will be again in person or a live stream. Now, I put a link in the newsletter, the PDF newsletter you might get, but you can find it easily. Just do something like Google 141 monetization FAA, and you'll find a single page, a big page that has all things, links you need on it. Everything you need is there. So for example, if you want to attend online, you'll see a link there that will take you to an Eventbrite, a place where you can get tickets for that. You don't have to pay anything. They just know you're coming, right? And you have a login, you'll get a password, you'll get all that so you can attend if you want to. And there's still room, I believe, for the in-person. So if you're in that neck of the woods, you want to go up there and be part of that, you can. Okay, so that's that. So we have a total, I believe, of 8 meetings. Some of them are hybrid, meaning they're in-person and online. Others are online only. The last will be the end of the year in El Segundo, Los Angeles, California. And at the end of that, all the working groups will submit all of their recommendations. So we've got working groups basically in 5 categories. I won't be able to mention them off the top of my head, but I can tell you one's initial certification for Part 141, examining authority, renewals, right, that process, curriculum, I said on curriculum, and training methods, and this kind of thing, simulation. And then the fourth one is QMS, quality management system, safety. I would call it safety. And there's another group on top of that which slips my mind at the moment. But the idea there is that there are several players. Usually the groups have somewhere around 40 in each group or so, and then the subgroups from that. So I spun off of the simulation group, and I got into the actual part of getting credit. So what we're doing is getting research that other universities have done already towards how and when we can apply, how they can apply, how we should apply simulation today if we had a clean slate. They've already done that work. And one of our guys is the director of aviation at Ohio State University. And he's doing his doctorate thesis in that very thing right now, doing a dissertation in it. So it's quite handy to have someone who's really gleamed through the research right there. So the fidelity of the sims, all this stuff comes up. But that's all being addressed by a pretty strong set of characters in our group, right? And so I like sitting on the technology side of things because, you know, I'm a proponent of all that, right? We also are writing the regulations, trying to make it and set the recommendation in such a way that it becomes more timeless so we don't have to use specific words. Like one of the issues we're going to have is definitions of flight training devices. That's in AC 61.136, I believe it is. You can go find it, but it addresses how long time, it addresses what these devices are. So, you know, there's a broad category that covers everything, and then there are actual flight training devices, AATDs, BATDs, all these things that are in there, and they're defined in that. And so we need to be careful. If we need to make changes, we may need to make changes to the AC as well. But the good news is the AC can be changed quite quickly because it's policy. It's not rulemaking. So that's kind of good. Policy can be changed with just writing something, right? You don't need to go through rulemaking to do that. So anyway, those are the kind of things going on there, just to give you a little bit of insight into that. Now, let's talk about our new product coming out. It's not ready yet, so don't try to buy it. But when you want to buy it, then buy a lot of it, right? So it's the Private Pilot ACS Smart Study Pro. So for those of you who don't know what this is predominantly built for audio. I wanted to try to make use of people's commute times, times when they can't be around video, and when otherwise they just can't do it, right? And like especially driving, you can't look at a screen. Well, you shouldn't look at a screen while you're driving, right? And so I made a audio course, but I did include video. If you were in a situation where you could see, then you know you have that as well. But it doesn't rely on the video. So the whole intent of this was to let it be descriptive enough to where it can stand on its own to the greatest extent possible. Now, there are some places about calculations and things where we really can't do that. But in other places where I can describe things, maybe using more descriptive language, or I can use examples, or I can use some analogies, then I've done that. And so what I did was I took all of the areas of operation for Private Pilot and all of the tasks from the ground, the very beginning, Area of Operation 1, through the very end. And I made a session, which is audio and video, for each of those tasks that appear in there. There's 40-something. 43 comes to mind. So a lot of narration, a lot of audio. And what I narrated was I looked at the knowledge elements, and I looked at the risk management elements and the skills, and I voiced what I thought you should know about each one of those items. And then what I did was we made, a companion PDF for every single one of those lessons that would have supporting images, would have maybe some notes here and there if it was appropriate. Maybe in the performance limitation section where it's really difficult to describe how to use a chart when you don't have one, you can't see one. But I was pretty good creative with that. But it's nice to have worked examples, so I provided those. Some places I provide a copy of an AC I'm talking about or a diagram of something. So those are on the companion guide. So when you get to a place where you can see things, you can either scroll through there and see that you understand it all or say, I didn't quite get that. Let me listen to that again on my next commute or getting ready. Whatever the case is, you'll have that available to you. I have three more videos to narrate. That's it. There's three left. And one of them is particularly difficult. So the other one, moderately difficult. The other one's easy. So I'm anticipating I'll be done with that in a week or less. Then it goes to editing. All the other videos have been edited with, and there are some corrections I have to do. That's fine. So the idea here is that we should have, we think, everything buttoned up and ready to go by June sometime. So it's probably going to be late June. It may even creep into July, but I don't think so. So if you're studying for a private pilot test and you want to use this time and go through each of the knowledge areas in the ACS audio or in the risk management areas and then talk about the skills, voice those out, hear those while you're driving. I mean, those things are quite a useful thing to have when you're in the car or in a place where you can't. Oh, you just want to prepare. You just want to prepare for a lesson. So let's say you're going to go do steep turns, slow flight. First time maybe. So you could listen to those presentations on the way to the airport preparing, in addition to whatever the flight instructor said. You kind of know then what you need to know about each one of those things. Or when you're done with a lesson, you could alternatively, you could listen to it on your way back and see that you did or did not or what you understand about it. I mean, it's an evaluation tool. That's quite good because that's really what the ACS is. It's an evaluation tool. So now there is a link that we will have to provide you somehow, probably in a separate email. But what we're doing is when we release this product, we're releasing it at half price to our newsletter and Power Hour crowds. So it will be released at half price, but only for a short period of time. And there's an opt-in that you must opt in to this particular email list so we know who you are. And then we'll send you a separate email that has the offer in it when we release the product. So unfortunately, I can't tell you what the opt-in is now because we actually haven't created it yet. But soon enough, you'll get an email which will say, hey, if this sounds good to you, then opt in here, and then you'll be part of that half-off crowd. Right now, I anticipate this product to be about 12 hours, maybe a little bit more than that. Our CFI product is 9.5 hours, so this is more than that. So it could be in this region, right? So there's plenty of time, plenty of stuff to keep company. And it's great when you're trying to review for a check ride. And for you flight instructors out there, this is like really great to be able to have your student do because you're going to go over it with them anyway, right? You have to go through all the elements of the ACS. But what a nice thing for them to hear what those knowledge areas should sound like or what they are and what those risk management areas, what you should know about that. And then you put the polish on it, right? That's pretty good. And then the student can say, well, I didn't quite get what he was talking about in this area. I don't quite understand any of that. Make any sense to me. And then you can go through the companion PDF with them, and you can also go through the ACS straight out and answer those questions. So it can reduce your preparation time. It can make a stronger student. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Okay, now we want to talk about the CFI study group on Facebook. It's a Facebook group. It's moderated or administered by Dorothy Schick, and Dorothy has a long history of being a very, very experienced flight instructor and just a delightful person to be around, just so you know. Right. So anyway, she put this thing together. She and Rex Scholl and some other people, some admins now I've noticed. But anyway, they put this together and it grew into an 8,000 plus group. Now, not 8,000 people show up at any given moment, but there's 8,000 of them. And it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And it's basically meant for CFIs in training. And it's also meant if you're an active CFI and you just don't know the answer to something, or you're a CFI in training, you don't know the answer to something, you can come there and make a post and someone will answer it for you. And they'll cite references. So you can go see those references. So the posts usually are several per day. I wouldn't say there's more than five, but typically there's 1 to 5 per day. And then the people who answer them are people like myself, Greg Brown, who's been an instructor for a long time, flight instructor of the year for a while, wrote for Flying Magazine. He's got a bunch of books on ASA. There's Rod Machado occasionally. Shows up in there. We've got DPEs. We have an FA inspector. from the Portland FISDO. So we got a caliber of people who can take on these questions, right, and answer them and give you the correct answer. Doesn't cost you anything. In addition, every Tuesday, there's a Zoom meeting from 4 till 6 p.m. Pacific time. And usually it's open forum, but not always. Sometimes there's a guest speaker. I've spoken at it once. Some other people have as well. And then, or it could be theme. There could be a topic. Like she does Aviation Jeopardy sometimes, something like that. But in general, there's always room to ask questions and to get your questions answered. And sometimes we have people present a lesson they're working on to get critiqued, right? So this is all very good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything. Nice people show up there. I want to say of the nice people, if I miss you, I'm sorry, but Cabot shows up. He's a CFI in training. He's a pastor, runs a, I don't think he's a pastor, but he runs a school that's a part of a church in San Mateo, in that area, in the Bay Area, San Francisco. So super nice guy to be around. He's part of CAP, so they talked about Civil Air Patrol. The Victor is there. Victor's a super nice guy, right? If you're hearing this and you don't hear yourself, I'm sorry. I don't remember everybody. And Angela just passed her CFI, and she's our CFI ACS Study Pro for that as part of some other tools she used to put all that together. She's amazing. Talk about a student, an applicant who puts herself together for a check write and preparation. This is a lady who knows how to do it. So there's that, and then you've got people randomly show up from just whoever they're from. Other people, I just try to remember, David, I think his name is. He's Canadian, and he's also a Canadian flight instructor and U.S. flight instructor. So he gets some perspective on things. So there's about 20 who show up in the room. And they're a mix of people, mentor CFIs, and people who want questions asked, answered, or have something to do. And Dorothy moderates it very well. Now, you can find it pretty easily. Just Google Facebook CFI Study Group. And when you check onto it, if you do that, you'll know you're in the right place because the image you'll see is someone, a younger person, flying from the right seat. And there'll be a bar that goes across the top. And you'll see that. So there's only one person in the seat there. And you'll also see that it's administered or moderated by Dorothy Schick, right? So that's who you want to do. So anyway, grab onto that. That's free to do. And I think you'll be well served, even if you're a private pilot. I mean, these are just things to... Why not latch on to places that are in the know, right? If you have some question, maybe you're questioning your school or your instructor about something, and you could put it out there in a safe space and not have to worry about that. Just getting other people's perspectives and input. Everybody, you will get a response. They don't just avoid these questions. So it may not be the response you want, but you'll get one. Okay. All right. Moving on down the line. We'll get to the pro tips here in a minute. So the next thing is we have our CFII class, I should say, coming up. The CFI class is probably too late to get into. It starts next Monday, which is June the 2nd. So our CFII class and accelerated instrument class together are going to be held on June 12th to the 14th, and that's via Zoom. So if you're studying for your II, this is perfect for you. If you want to get an instrument rating and you want to get to the ground portion like quickly, and get to maybe where you can put it all together. You have a good basis for everything. Like you know how to use the charts now. You understand the IFR system. You know how the flight instruments work. You know failures and you know the rules, that kind of thing. This is a class that will do it for you. It's like I said, it's pretty accelerated. So it does start at 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time now, or East EDT. And that's 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And that's for 3 days. And the last day is about a half a day. So you'll need to commit 2 full days and a little more than a half day on the last one. And that will get you over the hump. Now, I don't have any links for this. So I'm going to tell you, we're going to probably send out an email here shortly, which will have the link for the hour-by-hour daily schedule, which actually I can show you here. And then there will be a link to register for the class. You can always call us as well. We can do a manual registration. So this is the class that's coming up on June 12th through 14th. Now, if you're in Palo Alto, we do have the classroom open. The instructor will be remote. That's me. And I'll be teaching that class. And to give you an idea what's in there, let me just scroll on down. I mean, the box is not so great here, but you'll get the idea when I zoom in a little bit. There we go. There's day one. So we talk about introduction to Part 61, instrument rating requirements, recent experience, IPCs, there's a lot of gotchas in that IPC, ACS. Then we next hour we talk about Part 91 for IFR. Radio navigation theory comes next, including the theory behind VOR, ILS, DME. So I've talked about NDB for the flight instructor side, but it's all relevant to bearing pointers. We also show you how to use a tool that's $10 that you'll be able to use either as an instrument student or as a double eye, and you don't need a sim. You'll bypass that entirely for procedural things, and it's fantastic. So we use that a lot. Oh, now you have to show up and see what it is. Okay, then we have attitude instrument flying, control performance, primary supporting method, and then flight instruments. We go through the pressure instruments, the round gauges, and the gyroscopic instruments. We go through the theory of those and the failure modes. Then on day two, we do holding, then en route charts, and I can show you how to hold in about 30 minutes, and you won't mess up holds again. And in fact, if you're a CFII, you'll be able to assign a hold to a student in about 15 seconds. So you can say, I will say as a DP, for example, this question, see if this will frighten you. I say, okay, we're heading to this fix. Give me a holding clearance that will cause me to hold parallel with left turns, that I'll need to fly a parallel entry with left turns. I can show you that, and you'll be able to do that in 15 seconds. Okay, anyway, then we talk about en route charts, so SID, STARS, ODPs, then a precision, non-precision approaches, and we use both FAA and Jepson. So we show you both, right? So that's another perk. We also have then a weather briefing session. We use ForeFlight, advanced features of ForeFlight for flight planning and for IFR work. There's a lot goes into that in terms of extra features and content that can really help out once you understand what those things are. And then we do a group cross-country flight plan, which will be in bad weather, and we'll make a risk management assessment on the flight. Then we do GPS and WAS approaches. And the last day, then we review the flight instructor instrument PTS, because we already have reviewed the ACS for instrument on the first day. Then we talk about how to use an IFR syllabus. So if you're a student or a pilot in training, you should understand how the syllabus works and where you would be in it. Then we talk about lost comm and IFR emergencies, a very weird thing because there's guidance on that now. And it's been out for a long time, and people don't know what to do really for lost comm. They think they do, but they don't. A lot of people don't know what to do. It has to do with leaving the holding fix, the clearance limit, not holding fix, the clearance limit, when to leave the clearance limit, and what you have to do before you can leave it. So that's what's there. And then there's time to practice for those of you who want to teach some lesson plans and things of that nature. Now let's look at the pro tips, because we got three of those to go through, and I think they're quite good. They're ForeFlight centric. So I'm going to have you try. It's brand new, so make sure you update ForeFlight, or you're not going to see this feature, okay? Okay, but in the map view, right, you can go to the layers menu where you can turn on sectional, IFR chart, all that stuff, and select cameras. There's some cameras over there now. And then what will happen is all the FAA cameras around the country will populate on your map, and you'll be able to tap them and see real-time images from that camera. That's quite handy. That's a really cool thing, right? Number two tip is if you want to set more than one top of climb in ForeFlight, not just one, but you want multiple ones or two or three, you can do that. And where you access that is in the flight plan button on the very top, and it brings up a box where you can put in your flight plan. And then if you go ahead and put in a flight plan, now you remember you will have to have a waypoint set anywhere you want a new top of climb. So you may have to insert a waypoint if you don't have it, or at the point where you want to climb or start climb or cross at. The two options you have are cross at this fix at this altitude or start climbing at this altitude, right? At this fix, I mean. So the way you do it is you just tap onto the name of that fix, just tap onto it. If it's in the profile view, it will say the very first choice will be cross at or start at, and you can put in the altitude. And ForeFlight will take your performance data that you put in for your airplane. It will calculate the new top of climb from there using the performance data. Pretty handy, right? You can also do it from the other non-profile view, the edit box. You have to tap onto the fix, and you go to scroll down and look for it, but you'll find a place to set airspeed altitude, and that's where you do it there. So try that out. I think you might like that. Now, the one key trick here is on the left-hand side of your flight plan box, there's an altitude. It's usually the planned altitude. You need to set that to be lower than any other climbs that you want to put in there, or ForeFlight will have a heart attack. It'll bomb. And the only way to fix it is to redo the entire flight plan. Maybe someone else will have a better fix for it. So, for example, let's say I fly 172, and I want to avoid Class B. But eventually, I'm going to need to fly to like 9,000 feet. So I put in my first waypoint so I can stay below that. That's a fixed point. It's at 8 miles from the airport. I'm still good at 2,000 feet. That's the number that's over on the left-hand side, right? I'm going to make sure that number slides down to 2,000. If it's something higher, I'm going to move it down to 2,000. And then I'll put another waypoint and say, well, by Livermore or wherever it is, I'll climb to 4,500 because that'll be clear of the Class B. And I go out in the Central Valley, I'll go up to 9,000 or 8,000, be another one. But each one of those points has to have a waypoint. But when you do that, you need to be sure, before you do any of this, that that first number in the left-hand side of the box of your flight plan is the lowest number. And then it will work fine. Alrighty, so that's kind of fun, right? Do that. Give that a go. All right, the third thing to know is 4Flight makes actual passenger version of 4Flight, and it's free. And you can give it to your passengers, iPad, and they can follow along your flight. And so they can see the blue dot. If they have GPS, they can see where we are. They can ask questions. They can zoom out. They can do whatever they want and see the flight plan. Now, the trick is you got to be able to share the flight plan with your passengers. An easy way to share a flight plan, it's also useful for you flight instructors who want to check out a student pilot cross country, right, see what it looks like, is to you go to the flight plan box. So push the button, flight plan box, come up. You'll see a share button. Looks kind of like a square with an arrow in it, like share. You click that, and then you'll see on the right-hand side, it will say share flight plan. And that's what you want. Then you can share it via a bunch of different methods. So you say share flight plan. Then it says, do you want to airdrop it? So if you have a Mac or if you're using Apple, you could drop it between devices. Do you want to send it by email? Do you want to send it by text? And what happens is when the passenger or the other pilot, whoever it is going to get this thing, gets it, you tap on that link and it puts it right into 4Flight for you. Pretty cool, huh? Now, if you make any modifications on yours, you have to reshare. It's not an active link. Okay, so you can do that. So hopefully that will give you some things to do here in May. And we'll be back. That's all I got for you today. We'll be back next month in June with another episode of Flight Training the Way I Say. This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinion.